Nick DiGiulio here. We are live in the Allstate Studios on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower in downtown Chicago. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Coming up after 10 o'clock, we'll have our regular features, Drunks in the News, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies. We'll do some movie reviews with Eric Childress, and he will also run down all the movies that he saw at the Sundance Film Festival last week. All that and more, we're here till midnight. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Nell Minow, the movie mom, is about to join me, and if you have questions about movies, what movies are appropriate for kids, if you took your family to see a movie or you rented a movie with your kids and you have comments or questions for Nell, she is the movie mom. Check out moviemom.com, 312-981-7200, and we welcome Nell to the show. Hi, Nell.
Hi.
It's been so long.
It has. Happy New Year.
I miss you.
I miss you, too, and, you know, I'm just a few blocks away.
Well, why aren't you here?
It gets too cold.
I don't blame
you. Nice and snug in my parents' apartment on Lakeshore Drive.
Okay, I'm glad you're here. What brings you back home, Nell?
I've got family visiting, and I thought it would be just, you know, I wasn't cold enough in Virginia. I thought maybe I'd come out here and get some nice cold weather.
Yeah, oh boy, it's just been brutal.
Oh my gosh, I've been looking at the pictures during the last polar vortex. I know you got another one coming.
Yeah, we got another one coming early next week. When do you get out of Dodge, Nell?
I arrive this afternoon. I go back on Monday just in time for a cold snap.
Oh boy. Well, it's going to be cold while you're here, but I'm glad you could join us. I'm so happy that you could join us. We have so much stuff to talk about.
We do.
I would like to talk about your favorite movies of last year. I would like to talk about the Oscars and the Oscar nominations, and then whatever else is on your mind. Now, I always, you know, whenever you're on with me, I always let you go first. If there's something on your mind that you would like to talk about, I always treasure those.
Let's talk. If it's not too late to talk about the best and worst from last year, let's talk about that.
Okay, great.
I'm glad you're going to let me do that.
I have my list of best and worst in front of me.
All right, let's go.
All right, let's see. We'll save the. We're going to have fun with the worst, so we'll save that for a little bit.
Oh, good. All right.
I could run down my top 20.
Let's hear it.
And then you.
And as you go, I'll tell you whether those are on my best list or, God help us, on my worst list. But go ahead.
Okay. So number 20 on my list is Your Next.
Which I did not see because I do not do horror movies.
Right.
But go ahead. I heard it was very good.
It is terrific. Number 19 is Evil Dead.
Once again.
I know. Number 18 is Warm Bodies.
I like that very much.
Yeah, isn't that a
great... The Zom rom-com.
Yeah, I mean, it was. You know, I expected... I went in with really low expectations because, you know, the zombie genre has kind of reached its zenith at this point.
Although I heard there's a zombie movie at Sundance that everybody's just having rhapsodies over.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll have to ask Eric about that when we get him in here.
Mm-hmm.
18 is The Way, Way Back.
Yes.
Yeah,
wonderful movie.
How great is Sam Rockwell in that movie? I mean...
And who would put Sam Rockwell as the good guy and Steve Carell as the bad guy?
That,
It totally works. Absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, and I love that Sam Rockwell just absolutely admits that he ripped off Bill Murray in Meatballs.
Yeah, which is perfect.
Yeah.
And especially that first scene where he comes over. You remember Bill Murray saying, "You must be that depressed kid that we ordered." It's kind of like that. Okay, and I've got to give you one little note about the movie, which is because I interviewed the guys who wrote and directed it.
Yeah,
of course, they appear in it as well.
Yep.
And, you know, my daughter is a costume designer. I have to just say that she's now working on Mad Men.
Oh, good.
And, yeah, so I always ask, when I talk to filmmakers, I always ask about the costume design. And these guys, it was the first time that they directed a film, so they said they had to surround themselves with the very, very best. And so they got probably one of the very top costume designers working today, Ann Ross, to work on this little film. She does a lot of big stuff. She's huge. And the pants that Allison Janney wears in her first scene, which you can see in the trailer, so you can all find it online, they were worn by Shirley MacLaine.
Is that right?
Came running.
No kidding.
And she's been holding on to them ever since, trying to get them into another movie.
That's awesome. That is a great piece. That's a great piece of trivia. Wow, your daughter's working on Mad Men as a costume designer. Boy, that's got to be a lot of fun, that period.
If you are a costume designer, that is the top of the line.
Absolutely.
There has never been and never will be again a production where the costume design is such an important part of the creative talent of that show.
Good for her.
And what she says, I'm sure, which is what everybody there says, is that if they get every detail right, nobody will notice the costumes. If they get one detail wrong, it'll take everybody out of the time period.
Boy, that's got to be fun.
I talked to her last night, in fact, and she said now they're getting up around 1970. They're starting to bring in some mini skirts and...
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Well, listen, I would be very grateful to dress Christina Hendricks. That's all I'm going to say.
Christina Hendricks in a miniskirt is going to be a vision, isn't it?
Yeah.
Everybody likes to dress Christina Hendricks.
Are you kidding me? Is Alexis Bledel still on that show?
You know, I don't know. Yeah. Rachel's not allowed to talk about any details.
Okay.
She hasn't mentioned her. And Rachel and I are both big Gilmore Girls.
Oh, of course.
So,
gotta be.
Yeah,
All right. Number 16 on my list, and I make no apologies for this, Nell.
No, you never have to apologize.
I know.
Go ahead.
Fast and Furious 6.
Amen. Totally with you on that.
I love,
is that the only franchise in history where each one gets better than the one before?
I got to tell you, I love these movies. I mean, it's obviously horrific tragedy that happened with Paul
Walker. It's horrible. Paul Walker, I feel it's terribly sad.
So sad.
The movies are just too much fun.
They are. They're unbelievably fun. All right, 15 is Short Term 12.
Oh, my God. I love that movie.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You know, they keep showing the clip on TV and the commercial of the guy giving the toast to his foster parents, and I just start crying every time that happens.
It's
Brie Larson, three unbelievably great performances last year. This was her starring role.
Yeah.
And she is tremendous. It is just a fabulous, fabulous, fabulous movie.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
Okay. Number 14 on my list is Prisoners.
Yes, okay.
Pretty dark.
But
I think some of the acting in that movie is incredible. I think it's Hugh Jackman's best performance ever is in Prisoners.
Everybody's very good at that. Jake Gyllenhaal is very good. Everybody's good. And Melissa Leo, always fabulous.
Always good. Creepy in that movie. Oh, man. 13, Dallas Buyers Club.
Yeah,
I can't.
Very good.
I mean, Nell, you know how I feel about Matthew.
I know you and Matthew McConaughey.
And I was just talking a little bit earlier with Steve Johnson about this. I don't know what kind of, if he sold his soul or something, but to have this run that Matthew McConaughey is on right now over the past couple of years,
Mud, Wolf of Wall Street,
yeah. And I mean, I'm not a fan of Wolf of Wall Street, but he's my favorite.
Okay, we're going to talk about that because I am a huge fan of Wolf. I've now just seen it for the third time.
Oh my God, Nell!
That's 9 hours out of my life.
Oh man. Okay.
I totally have to talk to you about that. All right, go ahead.
Okay, number 12 on my list is Disconnect, a film that not many people saw, but I thought.
No! You know, I love you so much, Nick. That is such a good movie.
Yes, it is.
And is it her name Andrea Riseborough?
Yeah.
Is that how you say her name?
Yeah.
She's so good in it.
It's a terrific
Everybody
movie.
Everybody is good.
And Jason Bateman.
Everybody is tremendous in it.
Jason Bateman
is incredible in it. It's a great movie.
I really love that film. And it didn't get a lot of love over the last year.
No, it didn't, but I thought it was excellent.
Yeah. Number 11 is The Spectacular Now.
Beautiful movie.
Yeah. And then my top 10. Number 10 is The World's End.
Hated it. Go ahead.
Oh, come on. Really?
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Wait a second. That's Simon Pegg?
Yeah.
Okay, I loved it.
Okay, I was going to say, no way.
End of the World?
No, I hate that movie. No.
Okay, great. I hate that movie, too. I beg your pardon. There are only five End of the World movies.
I know.
Last summer.
Yeah.
Forgive me if I get mixed up. World's End, excellent.
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah. The Seth Rogen movie is This Is the End, and it had about three laughs.
I beg your pardon. Yes,
yeah.
I didn't like that one at all.
No. Number 9, Stories We Tell.
Very fine film. I agree with you. That was a beautiful film. Sarah Polley, absolutely wonderful. But I have to say, I'm losing a little bit with her because I feel that the three movies she made, all excellent movies, are all about adultery, and I'm just getting a little... She's starting to creep me out.
I never even put that together, Nell, but I love all three of her movies, I got to tell you.
Yeah, but it's starting to give me goosebumps.
Okay,
go ahead.
Number 8, Before Midnight.
Oh, my God. I love that movie.
Isn't it awesome?
I mean, if I could marry that movie, I would marry that. And that goes for all three of them.
Yeah.
You know, nothing like that has ever been done before or since that you track this one relationship over such a long period of time, and
it's beautiful.
I just love it.
One of the most thrilling, and I'm using the word thrilling, one of the most thrilling sequences of last year is that argument in the hotel towards the end of the film. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Okay, number 7, Inside Llewyn Davis.
That is my number 1.
Is that your number 1? Good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought it was terrific. Number 6.
I have seen that one 3 times. Absolutely love it.
Yeah, I've seen it twice. Number 6 on my list. This is a movie that is virtually impossible to describe what it's like to watch this film. I have a very, very hard time expressing how this movie affected me. Number 6 on my list is The Act of Killing.
Wow.
Have you seen it, Nell?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Man.
I think shattering is, yeah. is the word you're looking for.
Honest to God, now I sat there with my mouth, my jaw on the floor the whole running time of that movie. I couldn't believe what I was watching.
All right. Well, I want to ask you something about this. I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit because this is a movie, it's a documentary.
Yeah.
Where people who have committed unspeakable crimes.
Yep.
Not only reenact those crimes, but also call upon the violent movies that inspired them as they carried out those crimes. So you are such a fan of very violent, very scary, creepy movies.
Yeah.
So what does this make you think about the effect that those movies have on some impressionable people?
It's an interesting angle to look at it that way. This movie just profoundly affected me on every level, you know, and obviously I'm not in favor of censorship, but there are certain people who shouldn't see those kinds of movies. But it's obviously not the artist's fault or responsibility, but man, pretty incredible. Hey, Nell, we got to hit a commercial here, okay?
Okay.
And then I'll finish off with my top five. Then we'll talk about Nell's best movies of the year. And we've got the Oscars to talk about. And again, she's the Movie Mom, moviemom.com. If you have questions about movies or family stuff, 312-981-7200. Nell is here to help. Nick DiGilio here. We are live in the Allstate Studios on the 7th floor of Trib Tower. And we're here till midnight. Nell Minow is with me. She's the Movie Mom. Always check out moviemom.com. If you have questions or comments about family movies, if you want to know if something is decent for kids, or a question or a comment about any movie in general, Nell is here. She's the Movie Mom. So call us up, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200 for any of your movie questions. Welcome back, Nell.
Well, thank you.
Okay. I'll give you my top five, then we can jump into your list, okay?
Okay.
All right. Number five is Mud.
Yep.
As we previously
excellent
mentioned.
Film. Yep.
Number four is Nebraska.
Yep. Excellent film. My favorite thing about that movie is that Alexander Payne, who is from the Midwest, spent a year on the casting of that film.
Did
and
he?
those are real Midwestern faces.
Absolutely.
You normally see people from California and New York in movies.
I got to tell you something, Nell. I think it's a wonderful film. Bruce Dern is great.
And I'm so happy
for Will Forte as a
Bruce
fan
Dern's
of SNL.
From Glencoe, Illinois. We grew up in Glencoe, went to New Trier.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But anyway, I got to say, it's a beautiful film. It's touching. It's kind of sad. It's sweet. It's Alexander Payne, the most aptly named director of all time.
Yeah.
But I got to say, the hardest I laughed at anything all year was in Nebraska.
Oh, because the air compressor.
Well, that, yes, that's great.
Oh, okay, because that was when I lost
it. For me, it's the two cousins who cannot believe it took them.
Oh, the two cousins. Oh, my God, those two cousins.
And their faces.
Are they amazing?
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
And when they were talking about when they would obsess on how long it took them to drive.
Yeah, the drive.
And the scene where they're all watching the football game.
I was just going to say, when all the brothers are in the room together.
Oh, my God.
You know, it's like a gallery of Grant Wood painting.
Beautiful, beautiful stuff.
And my favorite character was the newspaper lady. I just absolutely loved her.
She was awesome.
I thought it was a wonderful movie.
It is.
And can I just say that one of my favorite things about 2013 movies is we had three beautiful black and white movies.
Yeah, absolutely. The cinematography is just beautiful from Nebraska. Yeah. Number three is American Hustle.
Yep.
Number two is Her.
Yep.
And my favorite movie of the year is Gravity. That was number one on my list. So,
all right. Well, a lot of your movies are on my list.
Okay.
I already told you my number one is Inside Llewyn Davis, which I just completely love.
Yeah.
And I thought Oscar Isaac gave my favorite performance of the year.
It's a remarkable performance, isn't it? I mean, that's a.
I've been waiting for him to break for a long, long time. I love him. I think he's great.
That's the absolute definition of a breakout performance, if there ever was one. I mean, he's amazing in it.
And from the very first minute where he sings like a 5-minute song.
Yeah.
He just had me. Yeah. He had me at hello. I just thought he was fabulous.
Yeah,
there's a scene in that movie. My favorite scene that I saw all year was a scene in that movie where he's in the doctor's office and he gets some news about somebody else.
Yeah.
And the way he responded to it, he just broke my heart. I thought he was absolutely great.
It's a terrific movie. So that was your number one. Okay, what else?
That was my number one. Okay, then, because I'm a girl and I don't obsess about ranking, I have everything else tied for second place.
Okay.
Okay. So of the ones that were not on your list, to my recollection, I have The Kings of Summer, which I absolutely loved, about three boys who went away from home. And
a nice year for, you know what? Nice year for coming of age movies, too.
Nice year for little independent coming of age.
That's right.
I have The Way, Way Back. I have The Wolf of Wall Street, which we'll get back to in a moment. I have American Hustle. I have a tie, which, because I consider them to be the perfect double feature documentary, 20 Feet from Stardom and Muscle Shoals.
Yeah. Yeah. 20 Feet from Stardom. What a terrific movie. What an entertaining film that was.
Wasn't that tremendous?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Loved it. And, you know, that movie really, I thought, went to kind of an existential place. I mean, first, it has this incredible stories and wonderful tributes to these people who are just off the, you know, the main stage and who deserve so much credit.
Yeah.
But then it really goes to kind of an existential place about, aren't we all kind of supporting characters in our lives?
Yeah.
And I just thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, I think a terrific film, yeah.
Okay. Did you see the movie No?
Yes, I did. I liked it very much.
Okay, that's on my list.
Yeah.
Gravity's on my list. Mm-hmm. 12 Years a Slave, which I didn't hear on your list.
Not a big fan, no.
Okay, all right.
I think it's absolutely the most overrated film of the year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nebraska is on my list. Mm-hmm. I have Before Midnight. And then did you see Museum Hours?
No, I didn't.
Okay, I highly recommend that.
Okay.
In a World?
I liked it, didn't love it. I like Lake Bell, though. I think she's cool.
Yeah, I thought it was, there's a lot of good stuff in there.
Yeah.
I had The Spectacular Now, Her, Much Ado About Nothing.
Oh, I really liked it. I did. And if I were
black and white.
Yeah.
And so I had Short Term 12. I had Don John.
Oh.
Vail Station. Enough Said. Now, here's one where we're going to have to fight because nobody liked this movie but me, and I mean nobody.
Yeah.
But I liked Upside Down.
I didn't.
Okay. All right. I figured.
Yeah.
Philomena, how are you not going to like that?
World's End,
I had on my list. 56 Up, because I will always put the Up movies on my list.
They're so fun, man. They're so good.
They're so wonderful. Did you see a movie called Still Mine with James Cromwell?
I did not. I heard great things about it, though.
That is an excellent film. I put that on. Rush, What Maisie Knew? Did you see that?
Yes.
That I gave that my best ensemble award. I thought that was beautiful acting, and I liked 42 and Trance. And then I also had a couple of other special categories I want to mention. I had Best Romantic Couple. You're going to agree with me here, Celine and Jesse.
Yes.
Romantic runners-up, I had Beatrice and Benedict from Much Ado.
Sure.
Worst Romantic Couple, and now I just really am going to go nuts because I'm a lot more passionate about my worst than my best.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. Who messes up Romeo and Juliet the way Jed Julian Fallows.
I didn't see it. I heard nothing but bad things about it.
You only need two things in Romeo and Juliet, okay? You need hot teenagers with a ton of chemistry. No.
Mm-hmm.
And you need not to mess with the language. Julian Fallows felt that he would make the language more accessible. Are you kidding me?
Oh, brother. That's not a good idea.
Oh, my God, it was terrible. All right, so it was nice to cast actual teenagers, but these were not like, oh, my God, my hormones are completely out of control teenagers. These were like, ooh, kissing has got cooties.
Yeah.
They were not. Best supervillain.
Okay.
Loki.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I would agree with that.
My MVPs for the year, Benedict Cumberbatch. I think people were legally required to feature Benedict Cumberbatch in every movie that came out this year.
Yeah.
including the narration of the 3D IMAX film Jerusalem and five other. He's this year's Jessica Chastain. But then I had as runners-up Louis C.K. and Jennifer Lawrence and Brie Larson, who were brilliant in more than one movie. And I guess I would say Matthew McConaughey, too.
Yeah. Well, you know, Louis C.K. in American Hustle destroyed me.
Did he kill you?
Oh, my God.
That ice fishing story?
Yeah, I don't even know what to say.
He was genius in that. And he was genius in Blue Jasmine.
Yep.
Interesting, neither you nor I had Blue Jasmine on our list.
I liked Blue Jasmine very much. In fact, it's my favorite Woody Allen movie since Match Point. And I'm not the biggest Woody Allen guy, though. I think Cate Blanchett is a lock. I think she's going to win the Academy Award.
You can't stop her.
And deserves it. and absolutely deserves it. She's remarkable in it. I was just so floored by Andrew Dice Clay in that movie.
He was wonderful.
He was great.
But so was Louis C.K.
Yeah, everybody was good in that film.
Yeah.
All right, Nell, hang on. We got to hit the news, okay?
Okay.
Hold on a second. Nell Minow is with us. She's the movie mom. Always a blast talking to her. 312-981-7200. If you want to ask a question, we would love to hear from you. The news is next. Nick DiGilio here. We are live in the Allstate Studios here till midnight. Full show. And Nell Minow is with me. She's one of my favorite people on the planet. She's the movie mom. Check out moviemom.com. And if you have questions about movies or family movies or things that are appropriate for kids or just a movie question in general, Nell is here to help out. 312-981-7200. Phone lines are open. 312-981-7200. And we welcome Nell back. Hi, Nell.
Well, hi. So another movie that I didn't hear on your list that got a lot of love this year was Frances Ha.
You know, I liked it. I didn't love it. I'm a fan of his. I'm a fan of Baumbach's stuff. And you know, he almost consistently makes my top 15 every year that he releases a movie. This one I liked, but I didn't love.
Yeah, I didn't love it either. I found the character. I think the perspective of the movie was that the character was very lovable, but I didn't find her.
Well, that's the thing about his movies. the characters are often really sort of, you know, hateful. You know?
Yeah, which is fine.
Yeah.
But if the perspective of the movie is that they're hateful, that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
If the perspective of the movie is that you're supposed to find them adorable,
yeah,
and God knows he finds her adorable.
Clearly.
You know, and normally I love Greta Gerwig, but her character was so completely irresponsible that it was hard to kind of stick with her, and so unrealistic.
I like
an old grouch.
I'm the same way. I'm the same way now. Yeah. But normally I like his movies, and I like his dark sort of twisted perspective on things. And I've put a lot of his movies on my best list.
I haven't had one of his on my top 10 since The Squid and the Whale.
I loved the, what the hell was the name of the one with Nicole Kidman?
Fargo and the Wedding?
Loved that movie.
You did? Okay.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It was on my top 10 list the year it came out. That was funny because that was when I saw a double feature over here at Clark and Diversity at the Century Theater. I saw a double feature on that Friday when they opened, and both movies inspired multiple walkouts.
I bet. What about Green?
It was that one. It was Margot at the Wedding, followed by the Bob Dylan movie, I'm Not Here.
Oh, God.
And people walked out during that. here's another one, Nell, that at the same theater that I went on the Friday when it opened, and multiple walkouts as well. For some reason, the audience for the movie, and I'll tell you what it is in a minute, was mostly senior citizens. It was a Friday afternoon.
Okay.
You know, it was a Friday afternoon. And I think they were sort of misled by the title and who was in it. But it was within 10 minutes, people were getting up and just walking out, and it was World's Greatest Dad.
Oh, dear. The most walkouts that I ever saw in a movie?
Yeah.
The Aristocrats.
Oh, my God. I can imagine. Well, it was funny.
They were misled by the title and the stars on that one.
Of course. But, you know, World's Greatest Dad was on my top 10 list the year it came out. I love it. And I interviewed Bob Goldthwait about it.
Right.
And I told him the story about the walkouts, and he was like, yeah, that happened at Cannes, too. Like, people got up and left. So, all right. Well, what are some of the worst ones?
Well, first I want to argue with you for a minute about Wolf of Wall.
Okay.
Because I'm like all about Wolf of Wall Street. I've done a lot of work on Wall Street. As far as my experience on Wall Street, that was understating the actual behavior of people that I've hung out with. And I've read both of Jordan Belfort's books, and I'm knowledgeable about what he's done.
Yeah.
And I thought, and I'm also a huge fan of Scorsese. I mean, who's not?
Well, of course.
And I thought it was a brilliant film.
Well, here's my issues with it, Nell, and we can hash this out. I Like, he's already made this movie called Goodfellas. He doesn't need to make it again. And he's done it twice now between Casino and this. This is like, to me, like a carbon.
He's exploring the same thing.
Oh, my God, yeah. Like a carbon copy of Goodfellas, only much too long. For me, every scene goes on way too long. And I'm including that brilliant scene where the Quaaludes finally kick in. That goes on forever. By the time he's crashing through the, giving him the Heimlich and crashing through the table, right. I was like, all right, I'm done with this. And that's how I felt about the entire movie. I thought it was way too long and that it was a pretty weak knockoff of Goodfellas. If you were to close your eyes during the voiceovers, you could picture Ray Liotta in delivery and in style and in everything. I thought it started out great. I absolutely love the scene with Matthew McConaughey, that lunch scene, is just brilliant. And it just, for me, it was way too long and it was just too much. And I understand that was the point of the film. And it's not that I disliked any of the performances, because I think DiCaprio I always love DiCaprio. He's amazing.
DiCaprio, I thought that was the best. You know, compare that to Gatsby, I thought that was the best performance that he's given in a while. I'm a big fan.
I'm a huge fan of his, and I think he's great
in
everything.
And Margot Robbie was great.
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, everything the craziest stuff that happens in the movie is the stuff that really did happen in real life, including that scene in the little girl's room.
Uh-huh.
That all, and the Rocco's watching it and everything, that all happened.
Uh-huh. Listen, I'm in the minority now. Most people are loving this movie.
And I'm just going to say one thing about it, which is that I agree with everything you said. For me, this hit home more than Goodfellas, because everybody can say, oh, well, you know, I'm not a criminal. I'm not whacking people, you know. But everybody was a part of this.
Sure.
Everybody was a part. This was somebody who was not a part of the mob. He was, you know, living in the Hamptons and getting away with stuff for a long time. And I think in terms of sort of an indictment of not of Jordan Belfort, but of the situation that allowed him to get as far as he did for as long as he did.
Yeah.
I thought it made a lot of really good points. Plus it was fun to watch.
Well, the thing that I will say about this is that, how old is Scorsese now? Like 73, 74?
Yeah.
All right. He directed this movie like he was in his 20s. I will say
he sure
that.
Did. And so much energy and magnetism and testosterone all over that movie.
Yeah, and I admire that, and I know that he's still got he's still got the goods. This one just didn't work for me. It just didn't. What do we got?
All
worst.
Right, let's talk about worst.
Okay, I've got 20 of the worst movies. I'll
let's hear it.
Just fly. Machete Kills.
Okay.
Identity Thief.
That's on my list.
Gangster Squad, which is a massively disappointing movie, considering what an unbelievable cast was put together for it.
And it looked like $1 million.
Yeah.
Let me just say, the costumes were great. The settings, the cinematography was great.
Yeah.
But yes, it had a fantastic cast and a great story to tell. It just was horrible in every element.
I agree. Texas Chainsaw 3D. I know you probably didn't even see that one.
Did not go to that.
Olympus Has Fallen.
Yeah.
The worst of the two Let's Blow Up the White House movies, I think.
I completely agree with you. I think most people were on the other side on that one and thought White House Down was worse. I thought White House Down was fun. But
White House Down, White House Down, as stupid as it was, it didn't take itself seriously.
Right.
And Olympus has Fallen. The other thing about Olympus Has Fallen, there was a disturbing glee in the destruction in that film. And I know you live there, so it's got to be really,
it is very disturbing to see your city blow up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Man of Steel.
Okay.
Is on my list.
Yeah, I didn't like it. I can't rise to the level of hating it, but you're right. Superman is my favorite superhero. I take him very personally.
Yeah.
He's not Superman. Superman is, how they say machete don't text?
Yeah.
Superman don't angst.
Well, that's the thing, Nell. And I blame Christopher Nolan, because he
I totally blame him.
It's the Nolanization of comic book movies.
Yeah.
Everything's got to be dark and serious, and that's why I love the Avengers. That is just a fun, awesome comic book movie. Perfect.
Perfect comic book.
Yeah.
Movie. Yep.
The Lone Ranger is next.
Unbelievably bad movie.
Yeah.
That's on my list. We had two great train chases, and the rest of the movie, stunningly, mind-blowingly bad.
Yep, I agree. Hangover 3.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of any of those movies.
List.
I don't like any of those films. I'm in the minority.
But it was so bad it made me retroactively like the first two.
The Canyons. Oh.
terrible movie. I wish I remembered to put that on my list. That was a horrible movie.
And I'm a Schrader fan.
It's like a Saturday Night Live parody of the movie it was trying to be.
It was terrible. And obviously at this point Lindsay Lohan is an easy target. She was the least of the problems.
She was the least, right. The whole movie was just awful.
Yeah. Now this is the first time that the director of this film. This is the first time that he's ever made a movie that's ended up on my worst list. Most of his movies end up on my best list. And it's a movie called Passion. Brian De Palma, who is one of my favorite filmmakers on the planet. Passion was horrible. Did you see it, Nell?
No.
Oh,
I did not.
It was, and I love Brian De Palma, and I was so excited about this. It was really just the laziest movie he's ever made. Just a terrible film. Let's see. Only God Forgives.
That's on my list. I was so afraid you were going to like it.
No.
I hated that movie.
Oh, I hate that movie.
I hated that movie.
Oh. You know, I hated it as much as I loved Drive.
Yes. I love Drive. Yeah. I was all about, yay, I'm really excited. And by the way, can I just say about... Going back to my
Oscar Isaac
movie of the year, Oscar Isaac was married to Carey Mulligan.
Yep.
in that movie, and this one he just got her pregnant. He wasn't married to her.
Well, the other thing we'll go back really quickly to Inside Llewyn.
And Christina Hendricks, of course.
Christina Hendricks, yeah, of course. But in Inside Llewyn Davis, the unbelievably wonderfully profane dialogue that comes out of Carey Mulligan's mouth in that
isn't
movie.
Isn't she great?
She delivers it with such gusto, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Some of my favorite moments in that movie are her dialogue.
Her yelling it at Oscar Isaac, but I got a special whole level of pleasure out of it because of the relationship they had in Drive. But yeah, Only God Forgives. So I'm like, oh, yay, Only God Forgives. I've interviewed Nicholas Winding Refn.
Yep.
I'm like, yay. And I just, my
it was terrible.
Dropped.
It was terrible.
How horrible it was.
Yeah, it was terrible. Movie 43.
I did not go. I refused to go.
Unbelievable, Nell.
Yeah.
You probably didn't see this one. It's a horror film. Lords of Salem.
Did not.
I can't stand Rob Zombie's movies. I think they just stink.
Oh, okay.
The Internship.
Terrible. Terrible.
Just terrible. Yeah. Carrie.
That was a very bad movie.
Absolutely,
it's
the
not
most
on my list, but it's a terrible.
The most unnecessary movie of the year.
Yeah. That's what I said. I think in my review is it's not a bad movie. It's just a completely unnecessary one. There's absolutely does not add anything
nothing
whatsoever.
Nothing except texting. They've added texting.
Yeah, texting and
YouTube. That's it. All right, and then here's the other one that is the most unnecessary, and I just made me angry. Old Boy.
Yes, I didn't go because I didn't see that. I'm just not going to go. I'm with you on that. It looked awful.
I hated it. I hated it so much. It made me so angry. World War Z.
Really?
Oh, I hated it.
I did not hate that movie, but okay.
Hated it. A Good Day to Die Hard.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
After Earth.
I was waiting for you to say that.
That
was absolutely it. That was my worst of the year.
And number one on my list, worst movie of the year, Grown Ups 2.
Yes, which I refuse to go to.
Oh, my God.
What I say about these is that any year that Adam Sandler makes a movie, everyone else is just playing for second.
I'm
retiring him.
That's true. It's true. All right.
Okay.
Nell, hang on, okay? Hang on. We got to take a quick break.
Okay.
We'll come back and we'll talk some more. Nell Minow is with me. She's the Movie Mom. Check out MovieMom.com, and you can call us if you got questions or comments. It's 312-981-7200. Nick DiGilio here. We are live in the Allstate Studios on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. And we are talking with Nell Minow, the Movie Mom. MovieMom.com. Bookmark that if you got kids and you have family. Nell writes about not just strictly family films. She writes about everything. She's a terrific film critic and a good friend to the show. And we welcome her back. All right, Nell, you were about to jump into something else before.
Well, first, I have to say, thank you for mentioning that I do not just family films. In fact, I just interviewed the guy who wrote the follow-up to Sharknado. It is Mega Shark versus Mecha Shark. And he has also written a companion book called Sharkano.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that awesome?
That's great. You know, it's funny. I got to tell you, Nell, I think a lot of people realize that you don't just talk about family movies, considering you were just talking about The Wolf of Wall Street.
Wolf of Wall Street, right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now, let me mention a couple of movies that were not that you did not mention. First, I want to mention, too, that I think you probably didn't see, because just like I don't go to the slasher films, you don't go to all the kids' films.
Yeah.
But these were two absolutely terrible kids films that came out last year. They were just horrible. One was Free Birds.
Oh, I didn't see it, yeah.
The single worst idea for a movie I've ever heard, which is two turkeys go back in time to the first Thanksgiving to prevent them from serving turkey so that turkeys won't be killed for hundreds of years. So you can imagine all five-year-olds go to this movie, and then they show up at grandma's, and there's the turkey,
right,
and they burst into tears. Are you kidding me? Okay, that was terrible. And then Escape from Planet Earth. What a train wreck that
I didn't
was.
See that one either, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Now, you didn't mention, I hope this is because you didn't see it, because this was unbelievably bad. The Host?
Oh, I did see it. Yeah, it was awful. Yeah, it was awful.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
I already mentioned Romeo and Juliet, mm-hmm, which was just an atrocity. Burt Wonderstone.
I'm a fan. I know. It's, Eric and I were the only two critics in the country that liked that movie.
Yeah. Broken City?
I didn't see it.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible, terrible movie. Now, here are my two controversial choices.
Okay.
Because these were on some people's 10 best list, but thankfully not yours.
Yeah.
To the Wonder.
Well,
I'm kind of over Malick. The whole movie was twirling,
yeah,
and sun flares.
I love Terrence Malick's movies. That one I didn't like. That was like Malick trying to do Malick.
I'm grading on a curve here. Right. I'm grading on a curve. And I'm saying, you know, as an absolute matter, not the worst movie ever made. But because it's Malick, it was a big disappointment.
It was. Yeah. I mean, it was a very, very disappointing movie. I mean, even Malick, you know, because I'm one of those upper end Malick fanatics.
Right.
And even guys like us were like, okay, dude, that's a bit. That's enough. Yeah,
you know, like there's I said, a lot of murmuring. Twirling and sun flares.
I've seen Tree of Life like 9,000 times, and I absolutely
it's
adore it.
It's a great movie.
And
my husband loves that movie.
Yeah, it's just gorgeous stuff. And normally I'm with Malick. I'm a big fan of Malick's, but that was not good.
Yeah, and then another one that I really didn't like was Out of the Furnace.
I liked it. I didn't expect. I didn't expect it to be as brutal as it was, and you know, you got an opening scene that pretty much sets the tone of the whole film.
Oh yeah,
and I just was I guess I was in the right mood for it. Now I watched it very late at night.
No, you don't have to apologize because, as I said, that movie turned up on a lot of 10 best lists. Now, and what, here's my problem with it. You know what? Everything I said about Nebraska is the opposite here, which is to me this was Hollywood's idea of what people in Middle America are like.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And I thought it was condescending to them, and that's why it bothered me. Yeah.
And I'm a big fan of Woody Harrelson.
The performances,
though.
Woody Harrelson, all the performances were excellent.
Yeah.
But here's my second complaint about the movie.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be sympathetic to Christian Bale. He's the hero of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to have a drinking game and just take a drink, every time somebody says, don't do that to Christian Bale, and then he does it anyway, and it turns out to be a mistake, you know, you'd be very happy. Christian Bale is supposed to be, you know, such a person of integrity and loyalty, and yet he killed somebody.
I know.
Drunk driving and doesn't seem to care about it. It's like, oh, bummer, I have to go to jail now. You killed somebody.
Yeah, I know. All those legit. And speaking of Woody Harrelson, I have to ask you, Nell, are you watching True Detective?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Speaking
Isn't
of, again,
awesome?
Again, Matthew McConaughey knocking it out of the park.
Blows
Whoa.
You away.
It's unbelievable.
It's so creepy and good and deep and dark and mysterious and strange.
I'm loving it so much. It's just so great.
And the music is great.
Yep. T-Bone Burnett.
It's so well done.
Yep. What do you think of the Oscar nominations?
Well, here's my view on the Oscars. It's time really to blow the whistle on how skewed and I'm going to say corrupt the Oscars are, because unlike critics like us who go to every movie and see everything, the Oscars are the people who vote in the Oscars are very lazy. They stick with just the stuff that gets very heavily promoted by Harvey Weinstein and a few other people, and they don't really see the broad range of things. And that's why you'll find that there are movies on our top 10 or top 20 list that aren't showing up at the Oscars. Mm-hmm. It's not that they've evaluated them and decided they're not as good, but because they're not promoted, they don't look at them. And I think that there's a certain amount of, you know, I always say it's kind of like the high school popularity contest, who you know, who you worked with.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, those are all creditable nominees. There's nobody in there where you're going to say, well, that person doesn't deserve to be in there. Mm-hmm. They're all good, and I can't get too upset about the fact that Tom Hanks didn't get his 97th, nomination.
Yeah, I was surprised.
I am very sorry that Oscar Isaac was not nominated.
I was very surprised that Hanks and Robert Redford didn't get nominated.
And Emma Thompson. Those were the big surprises.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they gave it to that last slot, they gave it to Streep instead of Emma Thompson. That was,
That is the Streep slot.
Yeah, exactly.
Why did I hate that movie? Can I just say...
Well,
August Osage County.
Yeah,
see, it was like an episode of Mama's Family on crack.
Hey, man, that won a Pulitzer.
And I loved the play.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the play with Estelle Parsons, Oscar winner Estelle Parsons, and it was excellent. I did not like the movie.
I didn't like the movie either, and I liked it on stage. For me, though, watching the film, I just kept thinking, why isn't Amy Morton in this movie? Because I saw it here at Steppenwolf. And
yeah.
Amy Morton was unbelievable, as she always is in it.
Well, and Estelle Parsons was also incredible.
Absolutely.
The acting was good. That wasn't really the part. I thought that in the play, the artificiality worked for it and made it sort of anthemic and metaphoric. But by deplayizing it and putting it in a real house with real scenes in separate rooms and everything like that.
Yeah.
They it got soap opera-ish and shrill
I agree.
Over the top crazy.
I absolutely agree with you 100%. Now, do you know what my favorite nominee is? My favorite, the category that I'm rooting for the most?
What's that?
That would be Best Makeup and Hairstyling.
Yeah.
Because Jackass Presents Bad Grandpa got nominated for
hilarious?
An Academy Award.
There was a lot of talk about that Bad Grandpa got nominated and Tom Hanks did not.
I know. I love the fact that movie is Oscar nominated. I just absolutely adore that. I think
it reminded me of that great line. Let's see. Three mafia.
Yeah,
They got an Oscar
right.
And Martin Scorsese. No.
Zero. Yeah. Yeah. Well, now it's such a pleasure to talk to you. We got to do it a little bit sooner next time, right?
Absolutely.
We have a lot of full shows coming in February because the Hawks are going to be, the Olympics are happening. So we'll have a lot of full shows in February on Saturday evening. So we'll get you on sometime then, okay?
All right, terrific.
All right, Nell, safe trip home. Say hi to your parents, okay?
All right, bye-bye.
All right, take care. There's Nell Minow. She's my favorite. And she joins me. She's a regular on our Saturday evening show. And like I said, we have some full shows coming up pretty regularly in February, so we'll definitely get Nell back on. All right, after 10 o'clock news, we will do Drunks in the News, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, all the regular stuff, and then after 10:30, movie reviews and the Sundance wrap-up with Eric Childress.